And that's open to anyone, just not Steve. So please be brief.
I'll be very brief. I think there were some really great comments made here, and I'm really glad that there's more employment that's coming from short-term rentals, and I'm really glad that there's a lot of potential income for people to start businesses in short-term rentals. I think that's really important to Astoria economy.
Recording in progress.
Sorry. Oh, my, those important comments were just missed.
All the audience judge.
Yeah, right. But I think there's a group of people that don't typically show up to meetings like this, that are often unheard at meetings like this, and it's because they don't have housing in the city of Boyne City, or they're poorly housed and they're working extra jobs during meetings like this that they can't show up. So I'm going to speak for them, but on their behalf, and say something really important, because, you know, the comment was made earlier that short-term rentals are not the answer to affordable housing. I agree. They're at the antithesis of that. Unfortunately, they're not the only, there's a lot that is going on right now that causes housing to be unaffordable for a lot of people. Short-term rentals is one factor. It's never 100% of the cause of that. It is one factor, because we have 160 homes in our community right now that were purchased by people who don't need to live in them or have anybody live in them year-round. So we have a lot of people that want to live here that can't afford it, and they would be showing up for this except that they typically are involved in this. A lot of those benefits that were spoken of earlier, they are good for our economy. Those benefits don't go to those people because, yes, there's a lot of jobs available in this area. That's really terrific. People work in those jobs. They can't live in our community, though. They can't live in the community where they work because they can't afford to live here. And I think if you can at least just have, don't eliminate them, just keep a cap somewhere in there. Maybe it's above where we are right now. Even. Just don't let it grow so big that we get to the point where we're having to spend a lot of money later just to keep a few of these people in our communities. You look at Telluride, Colorado. An old friend of mine works out there. She was the director of transit in that community. She was making six figures, and she couldn't afford to live in the community because all of the housing had been purchased by not just short-term rentals, but people of higher income. So we don't want to become that kind of community where we're just, you know, the people who work here can't live here. So I think thinking about that is really important. When they don't show up for these meetings, I think that's important to be heard. Thank you.
Anyone else?
These folks three times here.
I kind of want to touch on what he said about all the people who work here. Woody and I, when we moved into the house we're in now, you wouldn't even know it's the same house. We've been there for 47 years. We have replaced all the plumbing, all the electrical, all the walls, because they were lath and plaster when we moved in there. We've moved the stairway. We've added a front porch. We added a big family room and foyer and a three-car garage. We keep our yard mowed. We plant flowers. We keep in touch with our neighbors. We do volunteer work. We belong to groups. We care about this town. We take pride in our home. We take pride in our town. And we want our town to be a balanced town where everybody, not just wealthy people, not just tourists, but families who are working here can actually live here, send their kids to school here, have their kids play on a baseball field like over there that's trying to be improved for the kids now. So I think you need the regulation, because you're not going to get everybody that is like Lindsay, because I've seen the quality that their homes are. I know what they do with their rentals. I know what they do with their rentals. But everybody cannot be counted on to self-regulate. So let's put in fair regulations for everyone. Let's put in fees so we can keep a handle on how many are in the community. And then let's all try to work together, because I'm not trying to drive anybody away from town. I'm not trying to prevent people from coming here. This is a town that was formed around blue-collar workers, around families that set up establishments and stayed there for generations. And now, you look around you and how many families who have been here for four and five generations, they can't stay here anymore. And to me, that is not right. because those generations built this community, and it is one of the best, most caring, vibrant communities, but it won't stay that way if we don't have year-round residents that can live here. Thank you.
I'll try and be less passionate this time. And please be brief. Yes. So I think you bring up a good point about, you know, factories and things of that nature. In fact, I believe that this building actually used to be a factory in this land right here, right? Or right down the road?
Yeah.
Fire station. So the point is that times change. Things change over time. Areas change. And I just want to land a couple of points. One that she had mentioned. Investors are going to invest, period. That's going to happen. Whether they're state, whether they stay here or they don't, if somebody wants to be here and they have the money to be here, they're going to own a home, period. So I would rather have those people by the way, I'm an entrepreneur, small business. I work with small businesses. It's what I've done my entire life. I want to see these small businesses in town succeed. I want to see them really flourish. And being able to have people who come here to visit that spend money in town is incredibly important. As opposed to having a vacant 9 month out of the year property that just sits empty. Not having a landscaping company mowing the lawn as often because it doesn't matter as much because they don't have people staying there. I think all of these things are in support of the small businesses. And that's really, I think, the biggest point here is that, yes, short-term rentals are profitable. Yes, I'm an advocate for them. And yes, they support the local economy in more ways than one, including improvements in the area and increased property values, and therefore increased taxes to the city. There's one other thing I want to say, and I don't remember what it is, so. This time. Oh, sorry. I just wanted to say that I'm a huge advocate of what Steve is doing, by the way. Thank you for your work and your effort and speaking on behalf of those people that can't be here. I think that's phenomenal. And this may not be to the excitement of everyone, and I may be seen as the black sheep at this point, but what I'm going to say next, not every community is meant for every person. Every single community around the United States, whether it's a city or an area in general, it's not always the same. It's not always the same economics. It's not always the same demographic of people. And maybe with all the pushback that the city has gotten about low-income housing is a sign that that's not what the people of the area want. I don't know that to be true. I'm a huge advocate for everyone having a place to live, and I really feel that there should be low-income housing everywhere. So I want to make that point, but anyhow, I'll get there. Thanks.
Monica Grass, 109 East Michigan Avenue. I think what Scott put together here for us is just really, really wonderful. I think that we probably are going to see a fee and a licensing for short-term rentals. I'm not against it as long as it's within moderation. I'm in favor of the affidavit approach by the owner, that it meets health and safety regulations, the property meets health and safety regulations, rather than going in and inspecting everything and making a big deal of it. But there are some very good points on this list. One thing that you kind of went over and said, well, septic doesn't really matter. I was very surprised when I moved to this community to find out how many septic tanks there are in the city. And I think that is something that really should be regulated if it's used as a short-term rental. The other thing is, I have short-term rental in my neighborhood, and I have several in my neighborhood, probably five within an arm's throw. But there's one that I know they claim it as their personal residence, so they have the benefit of their property taxes being about 35% less than all the other property owners. And it's used as a vacation rental about 6 months a year. And I did notice in one of the, I read some of the ordinances that other areas had written, and one of them did address that issue. And I think it would be nice to just put that in your consideration, that if there was something you could put in there, like if they were having the benefit of personal residence exemption and paying 35% less than taxes, that they might have to pay a fee or some, there should be something in there. Because these other people that are having personal or vacation rentals are paying non-homestead taxes on those properties. And when you're using your personal residence as a business that much, I can see if you rented it 2 weeks a year or something like that. But when it's continual, I think it possibly should be regulated. Good luck with writing the ordinance.
Was there someone else in the back I thought stood up at that? Oh.
Pam Sislo, 1261 Lakeshore. And also, Scott, you did a great job developing this. And to Lindsay and Marv, and Lindsay and Shannon, and Doug, and Marilyn, and maybe there was somebody, Brett, you are truly the poster people for running your short-term rentals. If everybody was like you, there probably wouldn't be a lot of the issues that people have talked about before. But it isn't always the case. And I think that, so you would be kind of that local control or local contact required. And it's clear that makes a really big difference. But again, that's not always the case. So I just want to respectfully disagree that no regulations is not the answer. And that we do need, there's a reason why every other community around us has these regulations. And again, I'm just advocating, like Penny eloquently said and Sandy eloquently said, that we can achieve some kind of balance so that that you all can run your businesses in the great way that you do, but the rest of the community also can feel comfortable that we have a good community that we all want to be in. Thanks.
Okay, I think we'll wrap it up unless there's someone new who wants to speak. All right. Well, Scott, do you have any suggestions on how we might move forward here that would be helpful?
Well, I think that the commission, based on what you've heard,
I
I'm the sole proprietor of 30 short-term rentals in
one city. Limit how many?
And that's, I got these questions, but I just don't know when's the appropriate time. I can send them to you and email it to the chief state. Yeah. And I think I sent even Steve Schnell an email back in January as well. Interesting questions. Were you able to, like, some of the questions I was asking you back then in January was, do you know of a direct link with communities that have established STRs to help, you know, housing availability or the housing nuisance issue? Were you able to, like, find any local municipality that was able to help, obviously not prove numbers, but stop the massive decrease in density in certain areas in certain municipalities? Like, is there any strong, because my personal, and this is what I've been saying from the beginning, is I want to be an impactful, I want an impactful ordinance addressing the actual root problems, not something that's just paper, pencil whipped up here, and the impact is non-existent. And that's what we should be doing as legislators, essentially stating it very seriously and trying to find the facts, validating the facts, and being developing an impactful solution, essentially. And that's one thing that I feel that I'm lacking personally, is we, even from like that, like the round table that I held and speaking, sending out that email to you and Kevin Spade, I'm having a hard time finding how can we be impactful. I see a lot of different ideas. I see it's very broad as far as from fees to capping. You know, like East Jordan, they cap it at 50. Elmwood Township, 93. Is Elmwood Township being better than East Jordan? Are they seeing a drastic difference in their housing supply? That's where I'm lacking in being able to make a very valid decision. And I think Boyne City needs to see this happen. Or I think this will be impactful for Boyne City. And that's just kind of where I'm sitting at currently right now.
Tim, forgive me for my ignorance. Would you...
Excuse me. We're not going to have a conversation with the audience, okay? We're going to move forward.
Okay.
Scott, it refers to East Jordan's 50 cap. That's for the traditional residential district. They have no cap in certain zoning districts.
That's correct. They're a municipality that delineates by districts. So they have an unregulated district, kind of like along the lakefront. And then in the kind of the residential district, they have that number. So, yeah.
For like the fire pit, sorry, just for like the fire pits, so like Charlevoix not allowed, Charlevoix Township regulated. I'm pretty sure Charlevoix has wood burning ordinance for residential, which would apply to STRs as well, correct? Or no?
I don't think, the city of Charlevoix?
Yeah. When I lived there on East Rufus Street, I had the police visit me for a
No, it's my understanding that this is specific regulation written in the short-term rental ordinance.
So. Okay. So if, say, Boyne City had an ordinance in relation to fire pits, if we established a short-term ordinance for short-term rentals with a fire pit stipulation as well, that would supersede, that would just apply specifically for STRs, correct?
It would be part of that license, yeah. But again, I mean, that's something that you would decide whether it's needed or not.
Right.
And I've never seen fire pits being a nuisance
right.
from anybody, so.
Right.
It was more about the safety of it. Most of them cited, you know, you had that fire ring, you got a contained area.
Common sense, right. Kind of stuff, yeah.
Right, right.
Okay, Marty or Tom, you?
Tom. Well, from the beginning, I think a lot of us have said that balance is the answer, and I still feel that that's true. Do we need an ordinance? That's the number one question. I would be in favor of an ordinance that would be a minimalist, if I can say that. Minimum requirements, minimum regulations. I like the police state. not in zoning. I like Rick brought up, let's be fair, if I can have a fire pit as a homestead owner, I don't think it's fair to say that a rental home cannot have a fire pit. There's this, again, back to some common sense. I agree totally that the short-term rentals is providing a huge part of our economy, an important part of our economy. And I also agree that short-term rentals is not the only cause, but it is a small part of the cause of why we have a housing shortage. And that's what Steve has addressed. And I totally agree with Steve that our community needs to be balanced. We don't want to have a community that is only for the rich and vacationers. We also need a community that has the balance of our hardcore local citizens too. We can make this work, and not everybody will be happy, but it will be, and I agree with Tim, I don't want to make an ordinance just for the sake of making an ordinance. It needs to be logical, it needs to have a little bit of teeth, but I certainly don't want it to be over regulatory, because I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we're, I think our police reports and our local landlords are keeping them pretty good control on this. And so we don't need to come in heavy-handed. I think there's just some common sense. The local contact person, the publicized or very obvious to the renters, here's your rules and regulations and here's your contact person. I think maybe a minimum regulation or registration gives us an idea to where they are, but I don't think we need to make it into a money-making effort, and I don't think we need to tackle inspections, because back to what Rick said, if we need to inspect short-term rentals, we should also inspect long-term rentals. We should also inspect everybody's house. And I don't think we want to go there. I think, again, it's over-regulatory. I like the affidavit that when you register, the affidavit says these safety precautions are met by my signed signature. I think that's, again, a way to handle a problem, but not being overstepping our boundaries. And going right through these things, I think we can get through them. I appreciate the data. Sure. We should be basing our information on data. The data says we don't have huge problems. But I understand that our role would be to be proactive instead of reactive and come up with something that does work. We don't want to discourage local successful entrepreneurs that are being successful, that are providing homes, they're not, vacation weekends, vacation properties. Huge part of our economy. The data we had, Steve, is 300 beds a night would be the low end on an average. Those 300 beds a night are going to our local restaurants and spending money at the local shops downtown. That's part of a vital economy that is necessary for a small town. Where is he? Doug, yes. I agree with your passion to support our local business people, and they need short-term rentals. We also need, as Steve was working so hard on, to provide every way possible. You said the housing solution is 12 holes in the bucket. Plug one at a time. That's why we got to do this. So I don't want to make regulations that are going to be counterproductive to Steve's efforts, because Steve is not only knowledgeable, but just passionate and dedicated to our housing crisis. So I'm kind of wandering here, but I think my bottom line is that yes, we can make a balanced and fair ordinance that's not overbearing, that's based on data, that supports good people doing good things as landlords. And I don't want to take away the income from our people that are successful business people. I don't want to take away the opportunities. And I don't want to limit their opportunities. Our role would be to have the regulations work for the people that are not compliant, so that we have a tool that we can address the people that do live out of town, do not have a local contact person, that are violating the too many people, too many cars per house. That's the issue that we have to regulate without penalizing the others, and at the same time, make this community a balanced community where everybody can, the rich and our vacationers and our workers can be proud and economically be able to live in town. I don't know how we can do that, but that's our goal. So.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay.
Mark, do you have anything?
Tom, I don't think these words have ever come out of my mouth.
Uh-oh.
But I don't disagree with anything you said. Touched on everything. Again, kudos to Scott again. Almost everybody said that. It was exactly what we asked for. You can't say you didn't totally come through on that. Thank everybody here and the ones that left at recess time, because it was just good. Information from everybody. No one got heated. No one got, everybody stood up and said their piece. There was good points. And both times, the last time and this time, that thread weaves almost everything what Tom just went through. I mean, it's mainly the answer has been that the majority of everybody just wants to see a regulation just for health and safety and many of those things. One question for you, Scott. How do you, I can't find out of the Granicus thing, is there any way that we can glean out of that how many of the SDRs that are identified are only short-term rentals? I mean, that are they're never anything else. Because a lot of those, some of those are, again, second homes. They're here in the summer, and then they leave for the winter, rent their house off, or vice versa. Is there any way that we can glean that one out?
They have documented stays and also identified stays, and typically those are identified through people leaving reviews. So they can get a handle on about how many times they're bringing a rent a year, so that may be a way to kind of identify where the primary units are versus just a homeowner that's not living very long.
Okay. All right. The other thing, it only was brought up one time this time, but last time it was brought up, about, again, it was, the Sedona thing was brought up a couple times, but the school thing, that we're already in this free fall thing on the school level. It's so not true. I mean, I spent 16 years on the school board, and we're still well above anything we ever had. So, this is our only way to combat Facebook, is to put, good information out there through our wonderful OWL system now. And say, look, the schools are extremely important to this community, and I think everybody in this room and definitely everybody in our community loves taking care of those and supporting those and to the point. point, you know, a lot of the points that were made out here, and then Tom, you know, where we talked about, was it's all part of that, you know, that wheel. 12 years ago, we had a big fight about the food trucks coming into town. And I'll stand right here, raise my hand, say, man, no, not just maybe, no. And that was because they were rolling in from Traverse City, and they were coming here and spending the day and making $2,000-$3,000, and they were rolling right back out of town. They didn't spend 10 cents in this community. You know, they might have gassed their truck up on their way back out, you know, to take their money with them. And so, you know, we've done a good job on combating that. I think the short-term rentals are, you know, along that line, except for the short-term rentals actually put something into the community. The other misnomer that, again, I'm going to use this as the commission's Facebook. You've heard me say this a gazillion times, and you know, because I live it every day. But the short-term rental things, people think that if we just said right now, prohibited. We're not having one single short-term rental in this community. That all of a sudden, we're going to be flooded with homes, and they're going to be cheap, and it's going to change everything. It's so not true. I mean, the problem is, we have a wonderful community, and right there is one of our biggest problems, if you want, the land. Everybody wants to be here because of that. And so, you know, you back up, and COVID, you know, created the nationwide problem that we're experiencing today. Because I've told untold amounts of people in town, I'm like, look, COVID, when all those employers sent everybody home and said, you know what, we don't need you in the office anymore, you go home and work, and they got the double take from, wait a minute, so you're telling me that I can take this $300,000 a year job, hammering on this keyboard, and I can live wherever I want? Well, sign me checking out in Detroit and Chicago, and I'm going to Northern Michigan. And that's what's happened.
That's right.
And they're just, you know, so, they're, you know, please explain to me, how do we turn that faucet off? You can't. I mean, you know, knock on wood. You know, I bought a house for, you know, my daughter, you know, 6 years ago, and otherwise, you know, she should be living at home. That's not good. you know, and she's buying it, and that's great, you know. But it you know, it really is getting tough. I mean, having raised four daughters and everything, and you know, Tom gets a lot of this from being at the school all the time too. You know, you know, you have all those kids that come to you, except for Tom's not rich, and they're like, hey, Mr. Moody, you know, I'm looking for a house now, you know, remember me when you read books and everything? Yeah, you know, it's sad, because you got it. They want it too, and that's the other crux of that housing problem. I'll finish up with one thing, and I know you get tired of me with this one, but it really was, it was in 2000, and I remember like I read it yesterday, and it was an article in the it was either the Detroit Free Press or the Detroit News, but the crux of it was that Northern Michigan was going to grow to 2 million people by 2013. Say thank you God, 2008 got in the way, and it didn't happen. But it's happening now, and there's no way to turn it off. So the only way we can turn it off is going back to, you know, this type of thing, and trying to put in some, you know, some regulations. It was asked a couple of times tonight, so I'll clarify, because it was last August when you were talking about the short-term rental thing, and the chief stood up and spoke, and he said one complaint. You know, and so he said, please call me. You know, the phone doesn't ring off the hook, you know. But usually, I don't know, we all were, you know, younger once, and all you had to hear was one, and go to that car and see that badge, and you're like, oh boy. You know, so they don't come back twice, you know. I mean, people usually clean up their stuff real quick. So, you know, I think, to your point, Hugh, how do we go forward? You know, I would like to, you know, compile all our notes and take parts of this, and try to start, you know, start from scratch and go, all right, here's a component, here's a component, here's a component, and start piecing one together.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura.
So, Scott, I'm just trying to put myself in your position, how we would move this forward so we can have a productive next meeting. And what I think I'm hearing is that the police power seems to be a consensus with that. That a permit, there might be a consensus with permit. A fee, maybe. At least be able to define what the fee and why the fee and that type of thing. The inspection affidavit seems to be what people most prefer, that in-house inspection.
So,
just leave it up to the property owner to sign an affidavit saying certain things. The visitor's guide seems to be something, the health and safety requirements, I would maybe dig into that some, what exactly that means. The local contact seems to be really important. Parking, you know, might be covered in some other city ordinance that we have. I'm not quite sure, but to dig into that. But I think the one that might need a little bit of thought, at least from my point of view, is the cap and what the cap really means. Do we cap the residential district at a certain number? What would be an appropriate number? What would we use to get to that number? And maybe what it would mean if we had no cap on other zoning districts in the city, just, you know, commercial districts, the Lake District, that type of thing. Okay. I mean, that's summarizing things pretty good.
So essentially, the board, we would come to a consensus of we would all like to see an ordinance.
I think we're kind of moving in that direction.
Right, so you would like to see an ordinance, Thomas, to some degree, and then Marty?
As I say, as long as it's effective and not over regulatory and meets a need, we have data to back up why we're creating the ordinance. Mm-hmm. And you just brought up the point, we already have some ordinances that are in effect, noise, parking, disturbing the peace, and somehow they can be incorporated. That could be more of an educational, but it needs to be incorporated.
I think it's important too to know that this, we're not making something in concrete, but it can be flexible and it can be changed at any particular time as we learn more and as we experience different types of situations as well.
Well, some things you might get vetoed out of Lansing,
yeah.
So Tim, you asked me if I'm for an ordinance. If it needs those, and again, being proactive, I don't see the need today, but being proactive would be an issue, or a reason to create an ordinance.
Sure. Scott, how much time would it take for, to make it fruitful when we would gather again to hearing that?
I think a month would be a good time to give the, and what I'm hearing is you want some to work on. Basically document and begin the discussion.
So take part.
Put that apart and then you can sort of work and work on something that you need to talk about.
Right. And that's essentially if we were all in the consensus of some type of ordinance, that's gonna affect the questions I got for you, like the compliance monitoring. Do you feel comfortable with that? Would you have like a strong recommendation, hey, this is what I would feel?
I think that discussion is probably better at the next meeting.
I think I'm trying to pick up the consensus with you. Yeah. I think Scott's given you a great framework to work from with this whole matrix. I think that, you know, based on the areas you're saying that you think there's been some consensus already, you know, you can kind of come up with some things on that. There's certain things that I think are going to drive some of these other discussions, like who's going to do the compliance monitoring or the fees or the permit period. Is really going to depend on what, if any, ordinance you actually put together, what's behind it, right, how complex it's going to be. So I'm thinking some of these things, you know, like fire pit possibly, you know, that may be something that is a discussion outside of this, whether we need something for the entire community. And on things such as like fireworks or noise or some of these nuisances, maybe they're standalone ordinances but would have an impact if somebody is called to a house 10 times in a season or something like that, that, okay, you know, either you're going to have maybe someone you define, or your permit's not going to be renewed or questioned or things of that nature, or maybe that person needs more than just an affidavit or something to fill out. But I'm thinking you can use this matrix to kind of lead your conversation next time on the issues that, you know, need more discussion, like, you know, like a cap. And maybe that's one you save for later on and see where these other pieces fit in.
Yeah. Commissioners, are you good with that? I mean, are we making enough progress here, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. So we're looking at
a month from now.
A month from now.
Or 4 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Does anybody have that data?
One thing I will mention, we've run into this, which was both of our meetings at this point. We've come on a Thursday, which is a Main Street board meeting day, an agenda day, a short-term rental day, and a paycheck, not a paycheck, but a billing day as well, too.
So not every day?
Generally not. It's been stressful for a lot of the staff members, and I've gotten comments on that. So.
Well, I'm sure we'd be open to a recommendation for another, to break that cycle.
Okay, if you'd like, unless you want to do it right now, I can send out like a survey to the commission and get some dates. And if we're talking a month out, that gives us plenty of time to publicize it with the whole community as well, too. Are you basically seeing that the 5:30 at night generally works well?
It works for me, I'm not sure about the
community. Well, it seemed to work for the community, too. I mean, we've had two good turnouts.
Yeah, and I haven't heard any negative feedback at this point.
Scott, could you just again say where information on the website is and sort of what's there?
Gotcha. Right on the home page, it is down on the left-hand section of the page.
So you're talking the home page, City of Boyne City?
The home page of Boyne City. Down on the left of that home page, there's a link, the short-term rentals, and that will take you right to page where there's a number of PDF documents, all the ordinances that I've looked at, the past couple of presentations, all the comments that have been received to date.
So like Mr. Shute sent a letter, is his letter going to be
public? Yeah, that will be part of it. Any comment that I've received, email or otherwise, it will be on there.
What about like previous agenda minutes where we've discussed it? Would that be on there as well?
I can include them on there. They're all with the minutes on the other, you know, board commission ahead, but we can direct them on there as well.
Okay. Well, if we was there anything else, Mike, you wanted to add?
Not at this point.
So have we accomplished what we hoped to today? If so, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Sorry.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Thanks, everyone. Thank you very much.
Scott, what's the
recording stop.